This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It has been called everything from a boondoggle to the Swiss Army knife of fighter jets. After decades in development and hundreds of billions of dollars spent, the F-35 jet has become difficult to maintain, and the weapon system is plagued by inconsistencies, software deficiencies, and cybersecurity vulnerabilities. Now, some in the Air Force say plainly the F-35 is a failure, and it's time for the military to cut its losses and move on to possibly a new aircraft. It's a pretty harsh assessment of a version of the F-35 that Vermont's congressional delegation lobbied hard to have based in Vermont. Well, here to share his reporting on the F-35 is David Axe, a journalist, author, and filmmaker based in Columbia, South Carolina. He's also a staff writer for Forbes magazine covering aerospace and defense. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
If you could just briefly recap what a recent report from Air Force Chief of Staff General Charles Brown had to say about the F-35.
Right. He did not plainly say that the F-35 is a failure. He strongly implied it. Senior military officials rarely plainly say anything is a failure. That's just not the way that the culture of the Pentagon works. What General Brown said is that the F-35 is a Ferrari, and you don't drive a Ferrari every day, you save it. The implication of his statement is that the Air Force needs a Corolla that it can operate every day. That is not a surprise to anyone who has been following the F-35 program. It was evident more than 10 years ago that the F-35 would not be cheap, affordable, and available in large numbers. It's too complex, conceptually flawed, it's mechanically unreliable, it's got software problems, and it's expensive.
How expensive for taxpayers?
To buy a single F-35 costs about $100 million. To fly it costs about $35,000 an hour. To put that into context, a new F-16, that airplane is still in production after 40 years, cost millions of dollars less to buy and about two-thirds as much, if not half as much, to fly on an hourly basis.
You know, Vermonters who were opposed to the jets being based here in Vermont were concerned primarily by noise pollution issues, decibel levels, things like that. But some people argued as well that if the jets were to have a systems failure or something else that would lead to a crash, the impact on the densely populated areas they fly over, cities like Winooski or Burlington, would be terrible. Whereas if they were being flown in Utah, which was also vying for the jets, at least that wouldn't lead to more tragedy if the plane crashed in the desert, let's say. Are there any concerns over these jets being in danger of air flight failure, or is this really more of a weapons failure kind of issue?
It's a programmatic failure, the airplane is no more or less safe than any fighter jet or any military aircraft. No, the danger from the F-35 is not that it's going to crash on your house. The danger of the F-35 is that it's a waste of taxpayer dollars. The Air Force is going to buy these airplanes whether we like it or not, and whether it likes it or not. It's just not going to buy as many of them as it said it would. It's not going to buy them as fast, and it's going to buy them at higher cost and use them less than it thought it would, because it's just not reliable enough and cheap enough and simple enough to replace the airplane it was supposed to replace.
I'm so curious, as you just said that, the Air Force is going to buy these planes, whether other people want them to or not, or even if the Air Force wants to or not. What do you mean by that?
A program like the F-35 has momentum that even the Air Force itself could not halt. It's ultimately going to be a more than $1 trillion program over its lifespan of half a century. It's going to support many tens of thousands of jobs in probably every state and jobs overseas as well. It is the flagship program of a very large American company, Lockheed Martin, actually several very large American companies. It has strong congressional support, even if an individual senator or congressman might object. So even if the Air Force said today, we want no more F-35s, Congress decides what the Air Force buys, and Congress can force the Air Force to acquire aircraft. It does it all the time.
What comes next, though? I mean, there's a rejection of the idea to buying more F-16s, but is the military going to pivot to a new jet now and say, well, you know, the F-35 didn't work out the way we wanted, but the next one will be okay?
The Air Force has already pivoted to new aircraft. There's another stealth fighter in development, a so-called sixth-generation air dominance platform that's supposed to be a big, fast, heavy fighter to replace the F-22 in a few years. There's mysterious talk of some kind of fighter prototype that's flown in the past couple of years. But some folks in the Air Force have begun to talk about building a new, quote unquote, lightweight fighter. So another F-16, not the F-16, but something like it, something cheap, small and reliable. And so you're asking, can we buy something simple and cheap? Well, that's really hard for the American system to do because our defense industry is powerful. It likes big monolithic programs that are unkillable. To pack it with all sorts of technology that a lot of people have a lot riding on, to have so many different parties within the military and within Congress and in industry invested in a single program, that eliminating that program or even cutting back that program would hurt so many people that it would become politically impossible. There's incentive in the way that we've designed our government and industry to create big, complicated technology that we can't end.
David Axe is a journalist and staff writer for Forbes magazine covering aerospace and defense. We'll have a link to his article on our website at vpr.org. David Axe, thank you so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.